And joining us now, our military analyst, Dr. David McIntyre, retired U.S. Army colonel. Dr. McIntyre, let's talk quickly, though, about this fine that our reporter Amy Katz has been reporting about. How critical is it?
Well, it's an important piece. We've talked for some time about whether there is a link between Al-Qaeda, whether Saddam had allowed it to operate in the country. Some people had said, no, absolutely not. He would never do such a thing. The fact that there's evidence now on the ground that he had allowed that to happen is of significance. Also, apparently, there were some names, addresses for people here in the United States that were policed up. That's one of the reports. And, of course, you can bet those leads will be run down here in the U.S.
I'm sure they will. Let's move quickly from topic to topic today. The Iraqi information minister, apparently appearing to substitute for Saddam Hussein, called on all Iraqis to wage a jihad, a holy war against the U.S. and British forces. It raised speculation, there's the information minister now, that Saddam Hussein either is unavailable or, you know, just
very,
not there. What do you make of that?
It's a very curious incident, isn't it? Because they are the ones who said, coming to you next, Saddam Hussein. They're the ones who alerted that they were about to show Saddam's picture on the news. And then when he didn't show up, they were not prepared to explain exactly why. Now, this guy could be hiding back somewhere for a reason we don't understand. It could eventually appear. But certainly, with each passing day, the possibility grows greater that he's just not available. He's either badly wounded or he's not available to talk.
Or at least they want us to believe he's not available.
Well, the question is what impact that has on his country. I believe that when he's gone, that while there will still be a chain of command of very bad actors in charge, that chain of command will begin to unravel. I think that's why we haven't seen him.
Been a lot of activity on the war front. Let's go to the
map?
See what we've got going today.
Just quickly reviewing, we were just looking at an area to the north where there have been a number of troops enlarging that airhead, where there had been attacks at base camps, apparently Al-Qaeda base camps, mounted by the Kurds, and that's what we reviewed here just recently, a few minutes ago. The attacks overnight continued around Baghdad. As we discussed yesterday, there were a number of command positions hit a second time and a third time to drive home and to drive deep against any deep-lying command and communications personnel. There are still these two major Iraqi divisions to the south. Those are receiving most of the air attention, and the U.S. attention, of course, the U.S. Forces remain further south, a little north of Basra. If we can go to the second map, we'll look at that in a little more detail. Here in that second map, we can see right where those two divisions are deployed. The one to the west here actually is about twice as big as the one to the east, and that is where the concentrations are really taking place. Overnight air raids and air attacks by A-10s, by B-52s, will be striking those areas over and over again. The U.S. forces continue to be deployed, the 3rd Infantry Division, a little south of that. The Marines moving in the center, and, of course, the British forces, as we said before, down around Basra, where they're continuing to clear. At Umm Qatar, they were able to turn on the water today. Relief supplies are coming in. Mines are being cleared in that area, and we're beginning to see an additional flow of troops into this area. We're going to be seeing about 2,000 American troops a day move into this area and continuously move north. So that's going to be the story over the next couple of days, the air attacks and the continuing flow of U.S. troops into country.
Colonel McIntyre, it's pretty apparent that the nature of the battlefield is shifting to some extent from further south in what are wide open areas to inner cities, urban environments, street to street, building to building. What kind of fighting are we to look forward to seeing, and what kind of training are U.S. troops getting to defend themselves?
Well, U.S. troops, of course, would prefer not to fight in the built-up areas, first of all, because of the possibility of raising casualties, and secondly, for public relations reasons. We're aware of what's shown on the television. We don't want to be seen as the people that are blowing up buildings and knocking down buildings where people live. And so, if possible, we'll keep the Iraqis out of that, pound them with ground and air. But if we have to go into that, this force that we've put on the ground is unusually heavy with infantry. The 173rd Airborne Brigade, the 101st Infantry Division, follow-on troops that are coming in from the 2nd Cav and from the 3rd Cav have more infantry than you would normally find in an armored unit. And they have had extensive training in being able to go into buildings, work their way through buildings. The Marines, of course, have also done that. The interesting point is that they will continue to train even in country. They've set up practice locations, and they will continue this training right up to the moment of actual combat. And then after they've been fighting for a few days, they'll back up, they'll go over the lessons they've learned, and they'll practice some more. So one of the unusual aspects of this war is that there will be training ongoing every moment for those troops that are not actually in combat.
Colonel David McIntyre, as usual, with an insightful assessment of the military situation on the ground in Iraq. Thanks, Colonel, for joining
us. Glad to be with you.
Appreciate it.